I was having one of my testicles removed, Jackie Weaver. I think we know each other well enough now to tell you that.
Did you take it home with you?
No, I did want to, but I didn't. I didn't have the balls to ask, literally.
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
He's just kicked him out. Some respect to your pure authority. Don't make a flex, total superiority. You're just a speck, and she's got seniority. Jackie Weaver is the authority.
Hello, and welcome to Jackie Weaver Has the Authority, my new podcast where I'm joined by a weekly guest as we have the authority to answer your big, unanswered questions, like a couple of agony aunts. I spent a career in local politics running meetings and dealing with difficult questions, so this shouldn't be too different. If you haven't already, make sure you've pressed subscribe or follow, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please do leave a star rating and a review. It makes all the difference. And sponsoring today's episode is Brixton Brewery. More about them later. Today's guest is a writer, comedian, and the godfather of podcasting. It's Richard Herring. Richard.
Hello.
You seem like a very nice young man.
Well, appearances can be deceptive.
Perhaps you'd like to tell me your full name and what you do.
My name is Richard Keith Herring, and I'm a stand-up comedian, I'm a writer, I'm a podcaster, I'm now a ventriloquist. During lockdown, I've had a bit of a breakdown, started doing a ventriloquism show. I'm a sort of comedy person generally, though. I think comedy is the umbrella under which all those things reside.
But do you have a proper job?
I guess writing is almost my proper job. Jackie, that's the most sensible thing I do. But no, I spend a lot of my time. Like, I do a podcast where I gather stones up around my field and put them around the edge of a field. I do a podcast where I play myself at snooker. I'm nearly 54 years old. This is how I pass my time, and not that those two bring in a large amount of money, but I suppose that's a part of the way I make my living. A lot of stones. If you want some stones, I can get you some stones.
It's a thought.
Yeah.
it's awfully kind of you.
Thank you.
Now, this is kind of like a disclaimer, but I do just have to check in with you. Do you feel you have the authority to answer these questions?
I think I've got the authority. I don't know who you are thinking you've got the authority, Jackie Weaver, but I think I've got the authority to answer any question you can throw at me.
Well, I don't know either, but a lot of people tell me I do, so I'm just going with that.
Okay.
Their opinion matters.
It's worked out well when people have challenged your authority. That's all I'm saying. So I'm going to challenge your authority, and then within 2 months I'll have to resign from everything I'm doing. I'll never won't be able to collect stones anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Richard Herring.
Cancelled.
Richard, let's get on with this.
Okay.
Why does anybody call themselves Curiosity Killed the Cat? That's not the question, but that's the person who's asking the question. Based on your surname, what is your opinion of roll mops?
Well, I was very fussy as a child, so I didn't eat anything too extravagant as a child. And I think roll mop herrings were sort of more of a 70s thing than they are now. I do occasionally eat oily fish now, and I have been known to eat herring now. So the roll mop is, what is it? It's just a herring rolled up. Has it got something else in it? Has it got like
vinegar and lots of onions?
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I like vinegar. I like pickled things. But yeah, obviously Richard Herring, pickled herring, there's a slight... We were just talking online today because the Barry Norman pickled onions have been discontinued. They're my favourite pickled onions. And Barry Norman, rest in peace, is not around to... So someone was suggesting I should step in. And obviously the pickled herrings came up within that. So maybe I'll step in. But if I can do pickled onions as Richard Herring, because it would be confusing. The people would think it was herring pickled onions or pickled herring onions. People, maybe I can combine the pickled onion with a roll mop herring.
Apparently,
yeah.
They think this goes very well together. And talking of pickled herrings coming up, one of my fondest memories was going to Amsterdam on the ferry and eating, in fact, my mouth's getting wet now, eating pickled herrings on the way over, and it really wasn't very long till they were coming back up.
I don't think a ferry is a place to try something like that.
No, I think there should be a disclaimer on the jar or on the container. Do not eat in a moving vehicle.
Yes, I think that's probably true. Yeah. But I think the pickled fish thing is very much, and this is the reason our fishing industry is in trouble, isn't it? So we used to have herrings, but the stuff we're catching, we don't like to eat in the UK. But if you go to Russia or Iceland or a lot of the Scandinavian countries, then sort of dried and pickled fish are, you'll get everywhere. So I think you have to wait till you get to the place to try them and be possibly nearer a toilet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, what have we got here? An interesting one. Can I ask you a personal question, Richard?
Of course, you can ask me anything, Jackie Weaver.
Do you have children?
I do have two children. They're 6 and 3.
Oh, right. So this is going to be really topical for you.
Okay.
Why do people say they slept like a baby when basically babies don't sleep much?
Well, it's a good question. And one my daughter actually asked, I think, she also asked why it's cleaner because a baby's bottom is another one that people say, isn't it? Which again, I think whoever came up with these things must have been winking at them a little bit, knowing that they I mean, my son's been up all night, so I was thinking, oh, I've got to talk to Jackie Weaver, and I'm going to be tired because I've been getting up all night. My son keeps on wanting me to. Well, he keeps on wanting, every time he wakes up, he wants me to come and sleep in his room. And I'm going, I'm not going to sleep in your room. You've got to go back to bed. I don't know why people say sleep like a baby. I mean, especially when they're babies, even when they're asleep, it's not necessarily that deep a sleep, and there's any second they could come back up again. So, I mean, I didn't create the phrase, but I would certainly alter it if I had the authority. I would change that for sure.
And have you noticed how even when they are asleep, you have to get up to check whether they're still breathing?
Well, and this terrible thing is if they sleep until 7:30 or something, rather than enjoying the lie-in, I'm just lying there going, oh God, they're dead. They've died in the night, and I've got to go in and find their corpse. And then I still lie there for a bit thinking, oh, well, you know,
I might as well have 5 more minutes before I find them.
You might as well have a sleep. I don't want the dreadful truth. And then they suddenly, they're awake. So, I mean, I'm very much looking forward to a time when they both sleep in. My daughter, who's 6, still wakes up. She's got good at just, she now gets, she was reading to herself this morning at 6 o'clock, and she gets her school uniform on her own. The heartbreaking thing about them is sort of every time they move on, it's like a snake shedding its skin, isn't it? It's a different thing. So you do sort of lose them. So we'll never have my 2-year-old son back. We'll never have my 3-year-old daughter back again. And they are then very different people as they go on. And I think I'm very much going to miss my 3-year-old son, but it's very hard to convince myself that at 5 o'clock in the morning. But he's a real sweetie, and he's a lovely boy. So, yeah.
So if that wasn't the phrase, so we shouldn't say sleeping as sound as a baby, what would a better phrase be?
I tell you what, I'd recently had an operation and was put under an anaesthetic. And that was the most wonderful thing. I think it's like a little presage of death, of what death is like. And it's not so bad. You just go, and then you're gone, and then you disappeared. And there's nothing. There's no dreams or anything. You pop off and you're gone. And it actually, you know, obviously one of my worries was dying during the operation. But actually, I thought it's not so bad. But also the level of just being knocked out to that extent. I know it's a dangerous thing to wish, but I kind of wish I had that machinery at home sometimes. Like that you could just go and then just wake up, you know, not even dream, just wake up and go, okay, here we go. As it was, I woke up without quite an important bodily part of it in me. So it was a bit of a weird waking up. But it's, I think probably death or anaesthetic, where you're just sort of it's bone tired, isn't it? And that thing where you just pass out, which happens to parents a lot. You know, I think when you get to 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the evening and you've had a full day of it, and then you sleep like a parent. But unfortunately, I snore, so my wife.
Well, maybe that's the answer. Sleep like a parent.
Yeah. Sleep like a parent.
It's interesting that when you were going in to have part of your giblets removed,
yes,
that your fear was dying.
Well, you know, but being ill makes you afraid of dying, but also you hear about people, you know, I know you're pretty safe on the operating table, but you sort of hear about going under. I mean, it's a good way to go. And, you know, if I'm going to die, I would like someone to... If the plane's going down, I'd say, is there an anaesthetist on board? Who can... and then we could just sleep through it. I mean, that would be the way to do it, wouldn't it? But
isn't that where's the trolley with the vodka?
Well, I suppose if you can get in there quick enough. But it's just the immediacy of it. I don't think they even counted down for mine. I just was there, and suddenly I wasn't there. And I see that as a positive thing. That's what I would like death to be. Is I don't want to go anywhere else afterwards. I don't know how you feel, Jackie Weaver.
Well, my biggest worry, if you're under an anaesthetic, is that it would hurt. I mean, being dead is just like gone.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Oh, yeah, you feel the pain.
Sometimes hear those stories where, you know, they're taking your leg off. I don't know why. I mean, clearly you'd have been quite upset if they'd taken your leg off. It'd been very unexpected, yes.
Well, I don't know, yeah, it was... They did offer me a spinal one. I was having one of my testicles removed, Jackie Weaver. I think we know each other well enough now to tell you that.
It's good of you to share, Richard.
And
have you ever heard of oversharing?
Well, I just want to say, because they offered me like a local anaesthetic, so a spinal anaesthetic, so I could be awake to experience that. And that is the last thing any human man would want to experience, to just be lying there going, yeah, there it is. All right, great, thanks a lot. Off you go. So I was very pleased to be completely knocked out and for it all to be over by the time I woke up.
You see, for me, the most worrying thing about that is I don't like to think of my life being in the hands of other humans.
Right.
I like to think of pilots and doctors, surgeons, being kind of like some superhuman.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you were awake and then they were just kind of talking about what they were having for tea that night or, you know, having broken up with their girlfriend or something, I just know.
Yeah, no, well, you want to be away from
me. Me, you know, look at me.
I thought you were going to say you'd want to do the operation yourself, which I definitely would not want to do that operation. I don't think I'd want to do any operation on myself, but that one is the one I would least like to do on myself.
I'm not even confident about cutting my hair. Never mind. Bodily bits. But at least you can be sure it'll be the right one. Or left one, depending on which one you were. Yeah.
Well, they put an arrow. They stick an arrow on you, which is sort of reassuring and not reassuring at the same time. I guess they go, was it his right or my right? I can't remember which one it was. Oh, let's just go. Let's take them both off. So, yeah, they put an arrow on your arm. Which, again, might be if they go, oh, it's his hands coming off. Maybe there was an arrow pointing at my hand.
Or maybe that was just this way up.
Yeah.
I don't like to ask, but I'm going to anyway.
Yeah, I do.
Did you take it home with you?
No, I did want to, but I didn't. I didn't have the balls to ask, literally. And because I do a show called Taskmaster. I was on the last series of Taskmaster, but there's a Champions of Champions because I won Taskmaster. And they ask you to bring in something for the first round as a prize. So I thought that would be a good prize.
Could I ask you to be respectful to Jackie Weaver, please?
Be respectful, Jackie Weaver. You must subscribe or leave a review.
I don't know who writes this stuff.
It's a good segue away.
CT on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
If aliens invaded.
Yeah.
Note the if.
Yeah.
We're now assuming they haven't already.
Oh, wow.
And you were the extraterrestrial diplomatic liaison.
I'd question whoever employed me and put me in that position, but yeah, go ahead. Maybe everyone else is dead.
How would you achieve peace?
It depends what alien, you know, what aliens are you talking about, Jackie Weaver? That's a very broad question. Are they, you know, they're like in, Mars Attacks, they could be like. They could be like in that one where they're big spiders and stuff. It's very difficult to communicate.
They nearly all have spindly legs, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, some of them, on Star Trek, they all look vaguely human and you can talk via translator things. But I think like in modern day... alien films, they tend to be sort of insect or crustaceans.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I don't get is how they have really complicated kind of like dials and everything to work with and like, you know, kind of no hands.
Yeah.
How does that work? So you're going out to meet the aliens for the first time. You don't know what's getting off the ship. What are you going to take them that's kind of going to say, I want to be your friend? I would just say, not pickled onions at this point, but...
my testicle. I'm worried, first of all, about why I've got this job, because I've seen all the films when aliens land and the first guy who goes out to meet the aliens always gets evaporated. So I'm more concerned. I think I'm there as cannon fodder. I don't think it matters what I take out or what I say. I think they're just seeing if they're friendly or not. They say, send Heron out. It won't matter if he gets evaporated. They always do. I don't think there's a single one where the person, maybe Close Encounters of the Third Kind, maybe they don't get zapped in that one. Do you want to show the aliens that we got good stuff here? Because it might be better to take something rubbish and then go, yeah, it's really not worth coming out. This is what we eat. Take them some pot noodle or something like that. So this is our best food we have here. Take them, I don't know. Show them Mrs. Brown's Boys. Go, this is the highest form of art we have on this planet. And then my hope would be they'd leave us alone.
I've got it.
Okay.
I've got it. Collect up in that empty specimen jar all spiders in your house,
yeah,
and give them back.
Okay.
Because that's probably what they've come for.
They might well have done. If it's spider people, yeah, let's give them all the spiders. And maybe all the flies. It could be a good way to get rid of the flies if aliens come. you've got to be careful. I don't think you would be the person I'd send. I mean, I would push you to the front, Jackie Weaver.
Because?
Partly because then you'd get destroyed. You'd get destroyed instead of me. But also, I think you have the diplomatic skills. However angry they are, however vicious they are, however unpleasant they are, you'll still be there. And you'll maybe have a button that can send them back into space if they're misbehaving.
So, what we've got in 40 years, what will people be nostalgic for?
I think it'd be very interesting for people looking back at I talked to this to my daughter about this, whether she'll remember the coronavirus. I think I'll look back on this time more nostalgically than, you know, it's not quite the Blitz, is it? But there's loads of happy memories from the coronavirus, especially with the family being together. Little song. My kids, you know, would dance in the morning around the breakfast table with music on. And so whenever I hear, there's a song in Frozen 2 about I'm holding on tight to you. And every time we'd sing that, they'd come and hug each other and us. You know, I think there's lots of things like that. And we'll probably think, oh, it was an easier time, wasn't it? And there'll probably be something worse that just kills everyone who gets it. We'll go, do you remember we got that thing that only killed 1 in 100 people? That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Just for the avoidance of doubt.
Yeah.
I was not actually present during the Blitz.
I was not saying that.
I think it was implied.
I hope there was no implication there.
I think you were hedging your bets, actually.
It's, you know, but because it only feels like yesterday the last person from World War One died, you sort of feel, oh, World War Two was fairly recently. But, like, you know, anyone who was fighting at the end of World War Two, even the youngest person, is like in their 80s or 90s now. So it's World War II, we've nearly lost the last people from World War II. There'll be one or two that hang on and make you think, oh, it's quite a current thing. It's a long time ago, Jackie. I don't think you're 102.
Good.
I know exactly how old you are. I've been researching you for my own podcast.
What is it about newspapers that automatically have your name, sometimes your occupation, followed by your age?
I don't know.
It's a different story, you know. So if it was Jackie Weaver, 62, story, would the story be different if it was Jackie Weaver, 27?
Yes, I think that's for the newspapers. I think they're just letting you know whether the person is a sexual prospect for you, and you have to then work out yourself.
Is this for the visually impaired?
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the Council.
Now, I wanted to say a quick something about our fantastic new sponsor, Brixton Brewery. Brixton Brewery specialise in bold, modern and easy drinking beers inspired by the vibrant South London neighbourhood they call home. Like their Cold Harbour Lager, which is a bold and refreshing tribute to Cold Harbour Lane, just around the corner from the brewery. I am delighted to say that they are offering listeners of this podcast 10% off their next order. Head to brixtonbrewery.com and use the code CALLMEBRITNEY, all one word. That's CALLMEBRITNEY for 10% off your next order. They deliver nationwide too, so get a taste of Brixton. On with the show. XO on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Dear Jackie and Richard, my partner brushes their teeth for at least 5 minutes every time. It's just unnecessary. Is this grounds for divorce?
Yes.
Because?
Well, I just think those are the things that get you. My wife, you know, the things I didn't discover about my wife until we were married. The worst thing about my wife that I think is grounds for divorce is when she opens a soft-boiled egg. We did had one this morning. She taps it and then peels everything off. Whereas the correct way to open a hard-boiled egg, as I'm sure you know, is to behead it and then come inside. Otherwise, you get loads of bits of shit. Well, you do a little bit, even if you do it our way. But so I think that's grounds for divorce. And she's teaching my kids to do it her way. I tried to teach my son to do it my way today. So, you know, that's where you start pulling apart. 3 minutes is the absolute maximum you need to brush your teeth. But if that was kept from the partner before marriage, then I think it's grounds for divorce, because you have to be, if you go, look, when we get married, I'm going to sleep with loads of people. You go, okay, I'm not going to get married. When we get married, I'm going to reveal I can't sing. Well, you should, you know, that'd be fine. But now I found out you can't sing. What if I wanted to do a... you know, Donnie and Marie. Oh, no, they weren't married. They were brother and sister. Sonny and Cher.
Gosh, that's a whole different conversation. I suppose there is another way of looking at this, though. Maybe it's the only five-minute piece he ever gets. He hides in the bathroom with the toothbrush running just for 5 minutes apiece.
It could be that. He could be doing something else with the toothbrush, which we aren't going to on your charming podcast. he might be doing it sarcastically because she doesn't brush her teeth enough. Oh. So this could be a passive-aggressive move, which, again, it's very hard to communicate in marriage, and communication's a very important thing. And it's more of a battle, I think, marriage, than you're sort of opposing forces for most of your marriage. And trying to get one up on each other. And so he can't just go, your breath smells and your teeth are bad. You need to brush your teeth more. He's just sarcastically brushing his teeth for way too long to make her think, maybe I should brush mine a bit longer.
I'm just a bit disappointed, Richard, that you don't feel that I'm, you know, kind of open enough to be able to entertain the idea that somebody might be in the bathroom doing something different with a toothbrush. I mean, for example, they might be cleaning the grout.
They could be, yes. That was what I was referring to. I didn't think you would have any... you wouldn't be able to stand for dirt in a bathroom, so that's what I was...
No, and the other thing is, to be honest, if you're going to do that...
Yeah.
Don't use your own toothbrush.
No.
Julie. Now, there's a nice, sensible name. Julie. In your opinion, what sequels were better than the originals?
Oh, that is good. That's a good question. There was one I was thinking about. Usually they aren't as good, but sometimes they are.
Alien, maybe?
Alien and Aliens. I did like Alien, though. And Alien 3 wasn't as good as Alien. Aliens might be okay. A lot of the kids' films, they managed to kind of up the game. I think Paddington and Paddington 2 are two of the greatest films. I think Paddington 2 is better than Paddington. And I don't know, I suppose Muppet Christmas Carol is better than Muppet Treasure Island, but I don't think that's quite a sequel.
You really are into the kids' films.
I love Muppet's Christmas Carol, again, is one of my favourite films, and that should have won all the Oscars. It's Michael Caine's greatest performance ever, and I'm not even joking. I'm being absolutely... He's absolutely terrific in it.
Transporter?
Transporter. I haven't seen it. Didn't have you down as a Transporter fan.
Quite like the Transporter. Yeah. And what else...
That one where they come back and they're all old guys, but it's you know, Sylvester Stallone and Schwarzenegger. What's that one called? And he's in it, yeah. The second one of that's better than the first one. But then, you know, there's the Expendables, that's what it's called. Expendables 2. I did the presenting of the awards for the BAFTA. It was some kind of film critics awards for film critics. And I just had a go at them all for not giving all the awards to the Expendables 2 that year.
Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
Read the standing orders.
Read them and understand them.
Hear me.
Appalling behaviour. Okay. Right. What have we got? When I was 10, I fell over in the playground and my trousers came down. I can laugh about it now, but remember being so embarrassed back then. I don't think they've let this go, to be honest. What's the most embarrassing thing that happened to you at school?
I don't think I really, I mean, maybe I do get embarrassed in real life situations. I did a whole show about my dad was my headmaster in my secondary school, the comprehensive school I went to. So that was, that could lead to some sort of embarrassing moments. And it's more stuff with, you know, feeble attempts to ask girls out and stuff, I suppose, as though it was the embarrassing. I remember Adam Baker persuaded me that Maria Barnes, who I was really in love with, fancied me back and said, oh, she wants to go out with you. You just have to ask her, she'll go out with you. And then I asked her and she didn't want to go out with me. And he was just tricking me. And so that was sort of humiliating and embarrassing. I think as a comedian, you're a weird person. And I think you do have this, whenever I get bad news, as I did this year, my mind immediately goes to what comedy I can do comedically with that. So it's, you know, I think an embarrassing thing, oh, this is quite good because I can get a laugh off of it. And I think I've been like that most of my life.
I get that, but I think this year has probably been a stretch.
Well, it really was. I mean, I think that attitude, it would be hypocritical not to treat it to find the humour in it, because I find the humour in everything. And the worst thing, I think, is being one of those people who laughs at everything and then goes, oh, no, but not that, because that one affects me.
Right.
So you've laughed at everybody else and every other subject. And I think it would be sort of hypocritical. And it just seemed so, you know, for what happened to me, seemed sort of so, like, staged, and like the universe is having a laugh at me because I've done so much stuff around that subject. And when I first went to the doctor's, he said, oh, I'm pretty sure it's not cancer, is in fact what he said. And I left the doctor's feeling kind of glad that I wasn't going to die, but there was a niggling, I could have done a good stand-up show about that. Humour is the way to get through a lot of things like this. I think comedy's there to help you through, partly to help you through the difficult times.
I think the message really is that, you know, living each day as if it was your last, because one day it will be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, but...
Yeah.
But that, well, yes, except that it's a bit like the sleeping like a baby. If you actually did live every day as if it was your last, you would die quite quickly and probably run around going, ah, I can't stand it. So make the most of what you got. It's, you know, but it's still even like, you know, it's 3 months since I had the operation. And, you know, I thought, right, I've got to get down to work once I can get back to work. And I'm still wasting my days away quite a lot, you know.
Oh, so well, thank you very much.
So it's not today. Yesterday, I didn't do it.
Yesterday, yeah. I'm mindful of how much time I've taken up of yours, Richard, already, but just one more question. And I'm really struggling with how people come up with these names. Fickle 35, which kind of implies that there are 34 other Fickles.
It absolutely does, yeah, unless he's fickle and born in 1935, in which case he's 86 or something. Yeah. He's a fickle 86-year-old.
Question, probably not. What job would Gollum be good at in the modern world? Well, this is a good one. What job would Gollum be good at in the modern world? I can see it already.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Well, you know, I'm thinking a ring bearer of some kind, but he wouldn't give up the ring, would he? So that's make him a ring bearer for people who don't want to get married.
Okay.
So, like, if you have got accidentally engaged and you're going to the wedding and then Gollum's your best man, and then they go, can you give the rings? And then he doesn't give the rings. He goes, oh, can't get married.
I think Gollum was a politician.
Isn't he too obviously self-serving? But I guess, no, you're right. He could be a politician.
And you could dress him in whatever clothes you like.
Yeah.
Therefore, he could represent any party. You know, nice smart suit. Well, we know which party that would be. You know, nice check jacket. You know what that's going to be? Anorak. Moving on.
I'd quite like him to have to play Andy Serkis in a stop motion, so that he, you know, Andy Serkis is the guy who plays Gollum, and you always just see him with those kind of tennis balls on him.
Right.
I'd like to see Gollum with the tennis balls on him, and he's in like a green screen studio, and then he plays Andy Serkis in the life of Andy Serkis, which would be a good film. Andy Serkis has had quite a life, so. That's what I'd like to see.
Richard, thank you so much for spending some time with me this afternoon. And it was a pleasure to meet you. And I hope you continue to go from strength to strength.
Oh, it's been a delight.
If there are any bits left, perhaps you could just ask them to send them back to you.
I will do. I'll keep everything else.
Thank you to Richard for his humour and honesty. What a lovely chap. And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and leave a nice rating and a little review if you can. It makes all the difference. You can support the show on Patreon too. Patreon is a nifty way of helping independent podcasts like this one keep doing what they're doing. For as little as £3 a month, you can get bonus bits, ad-free episodes, shout-outs, Zoom hangouts, and more. 10% of every donation goes to Anti-Bullying Programme to help tackle bullying. Thanks in particular to my patrons Helen Rouse, Connor Farley, Rebecca Dutneil, Judith Elliott and Moira Turner. If you'd like to support this show, just Google Jackie Weaver Patreon or click the link in the show notes of this episode. Thank you so much for listening and I hope you have a lovely day. See you soon.
She's kicked him out.
Jackie Weaver.
Your time is up. Subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter. Support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed the show.